This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is up, sports fans? It is Thursday. Boy, did this week soar by. Not complaining one bit. May the 8th as we get ready next week. A lot of going on with the NBA draft lottery. We're going to have the NFL schedule release. Shoot, this weekend we've got Saints rookie minicamp going on. Looking at the scoreboard in the NHL right now, playoffs. Washington Capitals have taken a 1-0 lead over the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Hurricanes. The Canes are up 1-0 in that series. And personally for me, I'm definitely pulling for the Caps just because the Canes took out my New Jersey Devils.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize there was some flavor in there. I
yeah,
love,
for sure.
I love the Capitals. I love Ovi.
Yeah, rooting for Ovechkin as well, too. What he's been able to do is awesome.
Yeah, same here. And they lost that game one kind of in devastating fashion in overtime where they held, I think, a 1-0 lead in the third period, and then they lose it. They drop in overtime. So they're looking to even the series up at home. I'm rooting for the Caps. Like, my dream scenario would be Stars, Capitals, Stanley Cup Finals. Make it happen.
Put it in.
Yeah.
Put in the request.
Right.
Tonight we have just one NBA game in action. That's going to be Golden State at Minnesota. We talked about that right now. The Warriors have a 1-0 lead in that series. Tomorrow through Sunday, it's going to be a big question if LSU baseball can get their games in. Looking at the weather forecast for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's never good, Charlie, when you see the cloud with raindrops and that lightning bolt coming down as well.
Yeah, no. And unfortunately, it's been like this for the past couple weeks now, too.
Jay Johnson said 16 times this season they've had games delayed because of weather.
I didn't realize it was that
many. I didn't think it was that much either.
Well, I mean, how many of them have been within the last few weeks as well? Because that feels like it's really been happening a lot recently. No. I hope that they get everything scheduled in on time. I don't want to see any doubleheaders or anything like that. Just play the three-game weekend set as it's intended to be played, which between these two teams, Steve, like Jay always says, this is an Omaha-caliber team.
Right.
With Arkansas, it's legit. We were talking with Todd Walker earlier on in the show, and Todd said that they're the best team in the country. And D1, Jay had a really funny comment about this on his coach's show back on Monday. D1 has them ranked number 7.
I know we love the D1 guys, but that just seems off.
You won't find any bigger fans of the D1 guys than us. Etheridge, Healy, Rogers, Fit, all of them. They're fantastic. But what are they watching? We saw what happened because we were in the studio last Thursday when they hammered Texas.
Housed them.
Texas was 19-2 in SEC play. And I understand they had the whole situation that they hadn't played anybody on the road just yet. I had been kind of calling for that as well, that, you know, we'll see what Texas really has when they go to Fayetteville. Arkansas had dropped 3 straight weekend series heading into that weekend against Texas. You know, maybe they were sliding down a little bit. They fell all the way down to number 11, and then they just proved to everybody, hey, we're still a top 3 team in the country.
One thing I don't like about college baseball, Charlie, is four different rankings. It's like, can't we just somehow get a consensus on just one?
And they're like number one in one standing. I use
D1. The National College Baseball Writers Association has them number one.
I use D1s typically. D1 has LSU at 3 and Arkansas at 7. So
ESPN's ticker uses that as well. So I'm with you. I use D1 baseball.
They're fantastic. But that's something that I agree with Jay. I think they've kind of whiffed on. When you beat the snot out of the number one team in the country like they did this past weekend, you deserve to jump up, like leap up. And they were 11. They jump up to 7. I mean, this is clearly one of the best teams in the country. If you just look at the numbers and diving into the statistics, Steve, it's not just in conference, out of conference. They're number one in batting average in both, like in conference play, out of conference play. And then they're a top three pitching staff in team ERA. And they play great defense. The term complete keeps coming up with Arkansas, and there's a reason for it. Now, one thing that was interesting when we were talking with Joe Healy last night as well, when he was mentioning and kind of sharing his evaluation of Zach Root, the ace, the ECU transfer that went to Arkansas, and now he's their Friday night guy, a left-handed pitcher, just everything that he was saying, as an Astros fan, it reminded me a lot of Framber Valdez, where he's a guy that can pump mid-90s with that fastball. He's got swing and miss stuff, but at the same time, when he's really on, he's inducing this really soft contact, getting hitters to roll over, you know, pound it into the ground, get a ground ball, and he keeps his kind of pitch count lower because of that. Like, when he's really on, like you saw against Texas this past weekend, he tossed 99 pitches in 8 innings. He only gave up 2 hits and struck out 12 Longhorn batters. And yes, the 12 strikeouts is one thing, but he was also getting a ton of soft contact. So that's going to be interesting to see with this LSU offense that, you know, some people are starting to doubt. They're kind of slumping a little bit recently in the last few weeks. Can they really step up to the occasion against a really talented Arkansas pitching staff? Because it's not just the offense, which is already elite. Their pitching is fantastic, and it's led by this kid, Zach Root, from the left side, who, you know, we'll see what happens there. Just hearing Joe's evaluation of him, once again, as an Astros fan, it really reminded me of someone like Framber Valdez, but Root's a little bit taller than Framber. Framber's like 5'11", Root's like 6'2", so it's a little bit of a height advantage for someone like Root. It's going to be a really interesting matchup, him against Cade Anderson, because it's two of the best in the SEC once again.
Coach Jay Johnson spoke earlier today about this matchup. 38-11 LSU, 15-9 in the SEC, going up against Arkansas, 40-9 overall, 17-7 in conference play. Here's Coach Johnson on this matchup this weekend.
We've all been talking about the offense, right? So, like, what have you seen there? Is it just guys getting outside of their plan? Is it things late in the season?
Well, I think there's a few things to it. I think number one, the nature of baseball, and you know, this will be the third consecutive week we're playing a team that's been ranked number one in the country. And you don't get there without really good pitching staffs. And I think we've seen a lot of that. I think that there's been an elevation in talent in college baseball. We're seeing more high-end guys, for instance. You know, I mean, Ryan Prager turned down $1 million in the draft last year as a third-round pick and came back to Texas A&M, and in the game against us, he threw really well. You know, prior to that, it's Tennessee, and Doyle's going to get like $6 million, and, you know, Marcus Phillips that night was great. And that's kind of honestly just a part of the schedule that we're in right now. And so that's probably a bigger factor than anybody would point to. Now, with that being said, the competitive nature of our team, of our program, of me as a coach, we're constantly pushing to be better in a couple ways. I think through April 10, we were number 3 in the country in hitting, and you know, we were number 1 in swing decisions, like the best strike zone discipline team in the entire country. And when you face some of this pitching that we have, it makes that a little bit more challenging, where you don't quite impact the ball as much against them, and you don't get as many free bases against them. So we have to tighten the focus and tighten the execution of managing the zone the way that our teams do. And, you know, so I think it's partly opponent. I think it's partly that. And then the nature of baseball is hard anyways. And so if you get caught up in the past couple of bats or a past weekend and you're facing really good competition, you're making success or execution almost impossible. And to the credit to the players, they're continuing to work incredibly hard. We had a great day yesterday, completely flipped the practice format on its head. You know, the weather kind of dictated that a little bit too, but it was a really good day. And you're getting challenged this weekend. I mean, the guy we're facing tomorrow night like looked like Steve Carlton last week. So, you know, we have to be on top of it. Or it's the good news is once you kind of get through this, there's nothing when you go to postseason play we will have not seen. There's nothing we will have not seen. And when you put it in the context of offensive performance for an entire season and across the country, I still feel very good about what we have.
Where you are now in terms of, you know, projecting to be a national team, what do you have to do?
To play Friday. I mean, if the weather is going to allow us to. You know, I totally understand the question and the nature of it. And my whole life is built around Omaha. And the best way to get to Omaha is to play at home all the way through it. Our league makes it where if you earn it, you've earned it. But it also makes it really hard to do right now. We have 14. If the season ended today, there's 14 teams from our league playing in the NCAA tournament. I think last year we would get 11. And that was the most of all time. So now we're talking about shattering that record. So there's just no breathing room in terms of, oh, you got these guys or these guys. That's not how this thing goes. So we need to execute Friday against a really good team and a really good pitcher. And when the game's over, turn the focus to Saturday. And it's a really boring answer. But it's one that I believe in to my core. And they know we want to play here. Our players know we want to play here, and they're on doing everything that they can to make that happen. And then once the SEC tournament is over, you don't have control over that. But I think if you looked at where we are today, we've put ourselves in position to potentially do that. And that's a credit to them. And so you default into what put us in that position. Let's continue to do those things and improve on the things that we need to be better at. So if we do get that opportunity, you're ready to execute when you get it too. And regardless, home or road, there's going to be a really good team sitting there that you get to play, you know. So I haven't really gone there yet. It's just more about fix the play. You fix the play or improve the play. You improve the result. You improve the result. You improve the opportunities to do really really cool things like play here in the postseason.
You talk about top line pitching in the conference. I think of the head coaches and just the remarkable consistency.
Yeah.
And Dave certainly won.
Yeah. Tim, you know, 100%.
What do coaches like that have? I guess they enable them to be at a high level for so long.
Yeah, it's a really good question. When I think about Arkansas, a couple things come to mind. Number one, they recruit better than everybody else in college baseball. Like, hands down. Explosive players, talent, they're kind of the standard of that in recruiting. No matter who you end up with, you're always going to be in for a battle because they're always going to be able to match up. Number two, and I have a lot of respect for my peers in the league. With him, he's in his own way, he's one of the most competitive coaches that I know, and certainly respect that. I think he's hired really good assistant coaches. They have a really good home environment. And at the end of the day, it comes down to who's on the field. And they always play defense. You know, the pitching staffs, whether it was Hagen Smith, we beat them in Frisco. And they had a guy named Blaine Knight at the time, right-handed pitcher, who was really good. And I remember going like, oh, that's a pretty good win right there. We just beat Blaine Knight, Dave Van Horn. Tony Vitello was the third base coach, and Wes Johnson was the pitching coach. Little did I know 7 or 8 years ago, like all of that would be intertwined. But I remember feeling like, man, that's a great win right there. So just a lot of respect for the whole operation. Like, to me, like, again, they haven't won it the last game, but over 10 years, you'd have a hard time convincing me anybody's been any better than them.
LSU head coach Jay Johnson there speaking glowingly about this Arkansas Razorbacks, not just the team, the program overall. He mentioned the last 10 years, it's hard to find a better ball club than what the Hogs have been able to build.
Chris Blair had a great comment when we interviewed him earlier in the week that Dave Van Horn by himself is an institution. Like, he has built that program up, and they are a powerhouse every single year. In Fayetteville, you're getting 40 wins a season. Whether it's by elite pitching, this year it's elite everything. Elite defense, elite hitting, elite pitching. So we'll break more of it down, but he's done a fantastic job in Fayetteville. The one thing that they don't have on their resume, and that's what Jay mentioned at the very end, they haven't won it all just yet.
Right.
But their time is going to come.
We'll break down more of the Arkansas Razorbacks baseball ball club when we get back from the break. Jackson Fuller joins us right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, you know WWL is your home for LSU baseball. Up next for the Tigers, Arkansas Razorbacks, three-game series at the Box. It all starts tomorrow night, hopefully, weather permitting, 6:30 pregame coverage. First pitch, 6 o'clock pregame coverage on WWL, and also streaming on the Odyssey app. We'll have Game 2 Saturday, which is scheduled for 5:30, and Game 3's matchup is Sunday at 3. Go Tigers! Helping us break down the Hog side of things, Jackson Fuller, Arkansas beat writer for the Times Record, joining us now. Jackson, how are you doing today, man?
I'm great. Really excited to the weekend, and looking forward to talking to you guys about the series we got coming up.
Yeah, looks like a heck of a matchup we're in store for, and just curious what you think of, especially I guess D1 baseball's rankings of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Really surprised they have them at number 7. I know some of the other outlets have them a lot higher than that, but we tend to usually, I feel like, go with D1 baseball, and this one just seems really low for Arkansas. I wonder how you feel about it, and if, I guess, the team really wouldn't comment about feeling slighted there right now.
We asked Coach Van Horn on Monday if he thought they deserved to be number one, and he kind of scoffed at it and said no. He kind of expressed the same. There's just so many polls, and you know, one thing says another. I mean, I thought D1 baseball. I mean, I love what they do. I thought they dropped them a little low, like when they lost. They went through their three series losing streak, and I don't know. I mean, their record was still so good, and I understand why. But I felt like that was kind of what is causing them to be number 7 right now, is like they fell maybe a little bit too far, maybe a little bit too much panic with the little lull midseason. But yeah, it was quite the loud statement against Texas. And I've worked for a USA Today paper, and that coach's polls got him at number 2. I think that's probably a more accurate representation of, you know, the whole season. And number 7 is kind of like, I know they're coming off a sweep over Texas, but the three series prior are playing into that.
Jackson, before we get into the matchup, I wanted to ask you about that kind of midseason lull, because you're talking about an Arkansas team that's already hit 40 wins on the regular season. They do that every single year under Dave Van Horn, and then also 17-7 in conference play, but three straight weekend series losses, one of them at number 7, Georgia, where, you know, a couple clutch hits went Georgia's way late. It wasn't a bad series loss by any stretch of the imagination. They lose 2-3 to Texas A&M at home, and we just saw this Texas A&M team last weekend for LSU. They lost 2-3 at Bluebell Park. They're red hot right now, and they're going to be a terrifying 3, maybe 2 seed in whatever regional they get placed in the postseason. But then the one that kind of surprised me a little bit, and it's another team that's gotten hot late in the year, is Florida, dropping 2-3 on the road at Gainesville. But I just want to get your thoughts on that kind of midseason lull, which I think maybe potentially woke up this Arkansas team based off of what we saw against Texas this past weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you ask the team, I think they would point to two kind of factors going into that lull, that little downturn in form. One, just maybe a little lack of energy there. Like they had gone a stretch, I think, where they played like 13, 14 games in 17 days. And, you know, and it was, you know, the road trips and every team goes through that. But they felt like they didn't have as much energy maybe as they did at the beginning of the year. And their starters just weren't going deep into games. You know, Zach Root kind of had a little, I think that really it started with him. He just wasn't getting into the fifth, sixth inning like he was earlier in SEC play. He wasn't quite having that finishing, punishing pitch to strike out batters, a lot of two strike hits against him. And it just the bullpen wasn't getting overused, and you would see that come around on a Sunday or a game three. They lost game three in all three of those series where it was 1-1, had an opportunity to win. And the bullpen, I think, just ran out of gas. They didn't play a midweek game before the Texas series. The staff, the players all said that played a huge part in maybe getting some extra rest. And what Zach Root did against Texas Thursday night, game one, I mean, they're going eight innings. If he's going to start going six, seven innings consistently, it makes this entire pitching staff, the ceiling gets raised just because less pressure on the bullpen. Guys can throw one inning instead of two, or only make one appearance instead of two. And it makes a difference for this team right now.
I want to get your thoughts on Root specifically, Jackson, because, you know, I watched it. It was on ESPN. Steve and I were in the studio. It was Thursday night. It was like, I think, the only SEC game going on, and it was masterful. I mean, there's a reason that he was named the co-SEC pitcher of the week with Anthony Ianson from LSU, who won a complete game against A&M. But Root was fascinating to watch because he's got strikeout stuff. But when we were talking with Joe Healy the other day about him, he said when Root is on, he's inducing all this very soft contact, and he's just kind of in a rocking chair. And that's exactly what happened against Texas. I want to get your thoughts on Root because it feels like just another SEC series opener between two aces with Cade Anderson and Zach Root.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's both the first two pitching matchups. I mean, let me answer the Root question and then we can move on to the pitching matchups. But I think Root, the thing that separates him and makes him go from a really good pitcher to a dominant Friday night SEC guy is the strikeout stuff, because I think that was kind of in that midseason. He would get a lot of guys to 1-2, 0-2, and wouldn't be able to put them away, and they'd foul pitches off, and then they'd get the count full and either take the base or get a hit, whatever it may be. And I think that the difference against Texas was he was really finishing guys when he got into that. But I mean, that's 100% correct. He's not like a lot of times in college, it's a hard fastball and a hard slider is the strikeout stuff. No, I mean, he can throw a hard fastball, but the changeup is really, when that thing is on, it's really, really hard to hit against him. When he can locate that low in the zone or throw it first pitch when a batter is maybe expecting that fastball, I think that's like, that's the pitch that's maybe the swing pitch for Root. If he's got the changeup on, it's going to be a good night. If he doesn't, he could still have a good night, but he's got to get maybe, you know, a little bit more aggressive in chasing strikeouts with that fastball and slider.
Looking at the Razorbacks batting order, I mean, that's just like a murderer's row in the SEC here. I know the number one in team batting average, also lead the league in hits, runs, third in the league with home runs. What is this LSU staff getting into this weekend? I know got to watch out for the double trouble with the Aloy brothers.
Yeah, I mean, the whole lineup from top to bottom is deep, but it's really, really special at the top with the two Aloy brothers and Charles Davalan. I mean, you can pretty much ensure, like, even when they did lose those three straight series, like, two of those guys are going to have pretty good weekends. I mean, they've been consistent all year, and you know, a lot of times all three guys have great weekends, but they all hit the ball hard. They've got power to all sorts of the field. And, you know, Cujillo has really been the guy, I think, that's taken this team to maybe the lineup that it is right now. Because when the season started, Cujillo, we did not expect him to be a full-time starter. We thought he would maybe come in and hit against lefties, but there wasn't really a place for him in the field. They had other guys that could hit DH. And, you know, now he's hitting 359, I think. He leads the team with 65 RBIs. I mean, those three are the table setters, but the lineup, you know, when they do get into trouble, it's the bottom half isn't as productive as maybe it can be. And when they're sweeping a team like Texas, team like Vanderbilt, the bottom of the lineup, the entire 1 through 9 are really contributing. But it starts at the top with the Aloy brothers and Charles Stavlin, the leadoff guy.
And you kind of started a little bit there, Jackson. I want to get your thoughts also on Gage Wood, who, you know, when you're looking at the numbers, I had to double check, 14 and a third innings pitch. He had an injury that he was dealing with earlier on in the season, but this past weekend against Texas, 9 strikeouts and 4 innings pitch. You know, I guess they're kind of, I don't want to say easing them back into things. I think that's a good way of putting it potentially, but your thoughts on Gage Wood, because Anthony Ianson for the last month and a half, Kate Anderson's been the ace all year for LSU, but Ianson's really established himself as a super high level, you know, secondary pitcher. And so you have these two really talented guys on Saturday as well. There's just going to be a lot of pitching this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance that you get to the end of the year and both teams, Arkansas and LSU, like if it was a winner-take-all game scenario and you get to choose which pitcher you're throwing, I think that by the end of the year, Arkansas might be taking Gage Wood and LSU might be taking Ianson. I mean, you know, Root and Anderson are terrific, but Wood, they're easing him in. They're ramping him up. I mean, 20 pitches his first start back, I think 40, 42 his second, and then last week just under 60, I imagine. Get close to 80 this week, something like that. He's dynamic. I mean, he throws it upper 90s, 97, 98, then locates the curveball. I mean, the most incredible thing about him is 28 strikeouts and I think 2 walks still on the entire year and 14 innings. But it's just he's a rare college pitcher that has this electric stuff and pounds the zone. And, you know, if Root can start going deeper into games, they're starting to get a Saturday guy that can maybe go 5 or 6. Again, I think the Arkansas offense has gotten so much love and rightfully so in, you know, this season, but the pitching staff still hasn't reached the ceiling that it could potentially get to. You know, that might not happen, but I think Gage Wood, where he's progressing right now, the staff, the team, the program, the fans are pretty excited about where he could be in the next couple weeks.
Talking to Jackson Fuller here from Arkansas beat writer for the Times Record. And, you know, Jay Johnson, LSU head coach, talked about this Arkansas program, raved about it, said there hasn't been a better one in baseball the last 10 years. Do you feel like head coach Dave Van Horn kind of gets slept on in the SEC?
Maybe by the fans a little bit, maybe. But I know, you know, every time we kind of pay attention to what the opposing coaches are saying, it's a lot of words similar to what Jay Johnson said this week. I know that the fans, the opposing coaches and the rivals really respect him. And, you know, it's like what Jay said, it usually starts with the pitching staff. And like, that's a pretty good foundation, a base to be where you feel like every weekend you go into a series in the SEC and you have the advantage on the mound. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, and I think then, you know, that national championship would probably play a part. Yeah. Or the lack of a national championship would play a part in maybe some people underestimating him. But, you know, I definitely think there's a sentiment around the league from the rivals and fellow coaches that, you know, they understand how much how the type of impact Dave Van Horn's had on his Arkansas program.
Absolutely. There's a ton of respect for Jay and Dave Van Horn. And we were talking with Todd Walker earlier in the show, Jackson, and he mentioned that he thinks that Arkansas is the most complete team in the country, the best team in the country, because there's not really a hole on that roster. So I want to ask you if there is any kind of a weakness for Arkansas heading into this weekend series, because it's really hard to find. They play great defense. They have a great hitting core, both in conference and out of conference. And then the pitching staff is top 3 in team ERA as well. It's just, is there a hole on this Arkansas squad?
A hole, I think if you want to point to like a specific thing, the only two things you would maybe point to are the number 3 starter, just because Landon Beidelschies, I think, has been a really quality number 3 guy. He's 4-0. He hasn't been charged with a loss all year, but I think Arkansas would like to get a little bit more innings out of their number 3 guy. And then maybe the bottom of the lineup has just been a little inconsistent, but you could say that about most bottom of the lineups. The one thing I'm really interested in seeing this weekend is Arkansas, like, they sweep Texas and Vanderbilt this year. Those are their two most impressive series. And both of those teams are elite pitching teams and not as great hitting teams in the SEC. And then their 3 series losses, Florida, Georgia, Texas A&M, are, you know, teams that are typically known for slugging, home runs, runs. So I think that's something. And I know LSU hasn't been hitting as well recently, but they are a better hitting team, I think, than Texas and Vanderbilt. Like, how did the Arkansas pitchers fare on the road against a really high quality hitting team? It's something that, you know, they've had a little bit of some struggles this year against teams that can hit the long ball and walk. And, you know, if LSU can poise that threat, it's going to be, you know, it'll be a really difficult challenge for Arkansas.
Jackson, definitely appreciate your time. How has Arkansas's luck been this year with weather? Because LSU's gotten delayed, I think, 16 times, Coach Jay Johnson said. And just wondering, and hopefully you can bring some weather luck for us this weekend.
Not great weather this year here in Arkansas. So, but maybe it's like the two wrongs will make a right here, and we'll get some luck. I mean, we got to, right? It's the end of the year. It's the best time for college baseball. The weather guys have to shine on us, hopefully, this weekend.
Awesome stuff. Enjoy the baseball, Jackson. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, man.
Jackson Fuller, Arkansas beat writer for the Times Record. You can keep up with him on Twitter at JacksonFuller16. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk, return with even more after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back on Sports Talk here, we've been talking about LSU baseball getting ready to take on Arkansas, and it's the final weekend of regular season weekend that we'll get at the box. So shout out to the four seniors on the Tiger squad, Michael Braswell, Luis Hernandez, Dalton Beck, also Josh Pearson, who spoke to the media today. We'll hear from the West Monroe native right now as he gets ready for senior weekend at the box.
You've been here a long time, played against Arkansas a lot. What do you think of when you think of Arkansas and the program that they've got?
I mean, they're a great team. I think every year that I've played them, they've been a top 10 team. So they're always in the mix of it, of going to Omaha, super regional team, hosting, everything like that. So they're a great program. I've been able to play at their facilities twice. They have great facilities, great. I mean, their fan base is awesome. I mean, they get probably the second most rowdy bunch there behind Alex Box, of course. But, I mean, they're a great team. I'm looking forward to playing them here.
Coach Spokes was speaking to their talent, too. No matter who you guys recruit, they seem like they can counter who they on the roster.
Oh, yeah, they got a lot of good guys. We got some guys who played in the Cape Cod League last year with some guys on their team, and so they kind of keep in touch. But, I mean, they got a great roster up and down, great pitchers, great hitters. I mean, they got guys that they can bring in off the bench, too, that will contribute to winning. So, I mean, it's going to be a good weekend.
You've also, like I said, seen enough ball to know that this is when things really get interesting around here. Right? Yeah. You kind of talked to some of the guys that haven't seen those moments, those Alex Box magic moments, you know, and you're telling like, hey, guys, it's going to be a little bit different this week.
Yeah. I remember talking to Luis right before the season started, and he said a big reason he came here was because of the atmosphere, and he was excited to play on opening day in front of all the fans and how crazy it would be. And I remember telling him that, like, it's nothing compared to what it's going to be towards the end of the year. And so I'm looking forward to it. I know everybody on the team is looking forward to seeing this place packed out this weekend and in the coming weeks. So
you guys have had some troubles against lefties, particularly in SEC play. Is there anything you think you can locate to that, and how do you sort of adjust to that and moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, kind of just, I mean, leaving the past in the past and, like, not letting the past failures, like, affect the future, and just knowing that we're going to train every day and, I mean, stick to our approach when we're at the plate. And, I mean, the ball will fall our way eventually.
Jay was saying, you know, a lot of this is just mental, coaching you guys up mentally throughout the week to just kind of get past some of these struggles. What does that, I guess, kind of entail in terms of just improving the mental side of at bat to get that to where y'all want it to be?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me is just kind of going up to the plate with a free mind, not thinking of anything except me versus the pitcher, not thinking about the defense or anything like that, just going up there to – I think Barry Bonds used to say it's a chess match versus you and the pitcher. And, I mean, if you line out to the center fielder and hit the ball 110, you beat the pitcher in the one-on-one. So just trying to go up there and beat the pitcher in a one-on-one every single time.
You've got a lot in front of you, including probably postseason baseball here, but it is senior weekend. You'll be honored. You just tell me you're the last guy from your class.
Yeah. We have two other guys that were in my recruiting class but left, and then they've since come back, Grant Fontenot and Blaze Preacher. But, I mean, other than that, I'm the only one from my class that's been here for 4 years. So it's kind of a surreal feeling knowing that, I mean, this is going to be my last regular season weekend at the box. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. It's kind of flown by.
How do you feel about that? I mean, that's pretty rare, right? A guy that contributed for four straight years that's still here?
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. I mean, I got lifelong friendships that I've made since I've been here. And, I mean, there's no place I'd rather be. If I could go back and do it all over again, I'd do it 100 times out of 100.
Is there one moment that sticks out to you that you will take away from playing here?
I mean, just kind of the locker room. That's probably the thing I'll miss the most is, I mean, just showing up 2 hours early to not do anything other than sit in the locker room and talk to guys. So, I mean, that's always been the most fun to me, road trips in the hotel room with all the guys. I mean, it's always been a lot of fun.
LSU senior outfielder Josh Pearson then talking about senior weekend coming up starting tomorrow. Hopefully the weather does not delay things too badly this weekend for the Bayou Bengals. We're going to take a break and be right back to close out Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Winding down things on this Thursday edition of Sports Talk. Charlie Long, I know you've been crunching some numbers this right now about LSU baseball heading into the final two weekends of SEC play.
Yeah, it's not just me that crunched it. It's Inside LSU Baseball and social media had a great post that 15 wins for LSU right now. They're currently, if the season ended today and you're looking at Hoover, they would be the four seed, but only because of a tiebreaker with Georgia with head-to-head opponents. I talked a little bit about that the other day. Anyways, but they're still tied for third in the SEC right now behind Arkansas and behind Texas. Now, this is what's interesting. LSU's currently number 8 in the RPI with 3 quad 1 games left and 3 quad 2 games left. Quad one, obviously, against Arkansas, who's number 4 in the RPI, and South Carolina, who's number 65. Those are the quad two games. So either one of these will maintain their top 8 RPI. You either get one home win against Arkansas this weekend, and then you have to sweep against South Carolina in the series finale, the SEC regular season finale.
Right.
Or you pick up 2 home wins this weekend, and you win the weekend series against Arkansas, and then you pick up 2 road wins against South Carolina and pick up that weekend series against the Gamecocks in the once again season finale. Basically, the 19 win mark in SEC play, and we talked with Todd Walker about this last week. What is the magic number? 19 SEC wins will maintain LSU's top 8 standing in the RPI, and you've likely finished in the top 3 or 4 of the conference, and that should get you a top 8 national seed and the home path to Omaha, Steve.
How you feeling about this weekend, Charlie? I mean, it's really, I don't want to say bad timing because it's SEC teams. It's always tough matchups. But, man, oh, man, Arkansas scares the heck out of me coming into the box.
No, they're fantastic. And if it were my ranking, which, you know, the D1 guys watch a lot more baseball than me. So, you know, but just based off of what I saw from Arkansas last weekend, they feel like the number 3 team in the country at the very worst. And LSU kind of feels like they're closer to that 7 spot. It would be kind of a flip-flop of the rankings. At the same time, as Todd Walker had mentioned, you're at home for this weekend series, and that's fantastic. You don't have to go to Fayetteville in front of that raucous crowd. You have the Alec Box Stadium crowd that's going to be behind you all weekend long. That's a huge advantage. Playing at home in the SEC, you got to win 2 or 3 this weekend, Steve. Don't set it up where you have to go sweep South Carolina next weekend. Take care of business at home.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk tomorrow and hopefully LSU baseball, a 6:30 first pitch, 6 o'clock pregame. Be right back tomorrow, folks. Have a good night.